Do you think we should stay in or get out of the EU? Let's hear the views of the UKIP leader, Nigel Farage.
What I want is for us to divorce ourselves amicably from political union, because that's what we're in. It is a political union. That's why it has a flag. That's why it has an anthem. And thereafter, I want a simple trade agreement, just like the EU has with Mexico and many other parts of the world.
And how long's that going to take to write?
Under the terms of the Lisbon Treaty, and I don't want to bore your listeners to death, but under the terms of the last treaty, there is a sort of formal process set down where negotiations would take up to 2 years. I don't want it to take anything like that. I go very much more with the former CBI Director General Digby Jones, who says the German car industry, the day after Britain votes to leave, will be smashing down Angela Merkel's door and insisting she sorts out a deal for them as quickly as possible. And what everyone forgets here is, of course, we are now the Eurozone's most important market in the world. The figures that were out 2 weeks ago were extraordinary. They showed a trade deficit now between the European Union and Britain of £80 billion last year. So just, any of your listeners, look out of the window, see how many German motor cars there are, and realise that in trading terms, they need this deal to be done quickly and cleanly even more than we do.
Here's what David Cameron said in a speech last year. He said, if we weren't in there helping write the rules, they would be written without us. The biggest supporter of open markets and free trade, and we would not like the outcome, he said.
Well, we trade with India, we trade with America. If we sell goods to America, we don't write the rules of the American consumer market. We accept that they have different specifications and we have to adapt to it. I mean, and the idea that we're influencing the rules within Europe, I mean, look, we have an 8% say over the rules. But here's the real kicker. Since David Cameron became Prime Minister in 2010, there are now 40 occasions on which a piece of legislation has gone to the last stage of the process. It's called the Council of Ministers. And on 40 occasions, the British minister has banged the table and said, I'm sorry, we are opposed to this. This is against our interests. And do you know what? We've lost on 40 occasions.
For those people who are resistant to change, they might actually not want to take the risk, Nigel, of millions of jobs being lost as global manufacturers move to lower-cost EU countries.
But do you know what, Stephen? We heard exactly the same arguments, and in many cases, from exactly the same people 15 years ago when we had the same debate. The big debate was about the euro. And we were told by people, if we didn't, join the euro, our manufacturers would leave, the City of London would close down, and there'd be no foreign direct.
But the reality is, you don't know. That's my point. This is a stab in the dark, isn't it? You don't know how many global manufacturers would leave to lower cost EU countries. You cannot know, because this is unprecedented.
Well, I can know, because outside this little club called Europe, there's a place called the world. And there is no other part of the world in which people say, to buy and sell goods from each other, we need to be in a political union. It's just a fantasy land. There is a World Trade Organization that has set the rules for global trade. Every country in the world has access to the single market. The Chinese last year sold 300 billion euros worth of goods into the Eurozone, and they're certainly not members of the European Union.
But are we not better positioned to secure beneficial trade deals if we're part of that group?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Little Switzerland negotiates her own trade deals. She's got more free trade agreements across the world than we've got. And I was told, I've been told by Nick Clegg and Cameron and all of them that Britain is too small to negotiate her own trade agreement.
Switzerland, as you describe it, has to abide by the EU rules, and they can't have any input into writing them.
No, Switzerland doesn't have to abide by EU rules.
Yes, they do.
And the argument about
Norway,
they do. No, they don't. Only if they want to sell goods into the European market.
That's my point.
Here is a fact for you. Our Labour spokesman told us that Norway has to abide by the rules of the European Union, right? And has no influence on them. Let me tell you, between 2000 and 2015, Norway adopted 9% of single market legislation. Just 9% is what they adopted in order to sell 75% of their overseas goods into the European Union marketplace.
I think what we need to be careful of doing here over the next lot of weeks is we can all, as journalists and politicians, get into the fine detail of some of the stuff, and so we should. But we should remember the real-life implications of this decision for people too, on the ground. In other words, real people and how this will affect them. So for UK citizens who are currently working in other EU member states and they do not have a visa, what do they do?
Well, we have had people working in EU member states and all over the world for many years before the European Union was even invented.
Yeah, but what happens? What would happen? What happens after that referendum if Cameron loses? What happens to their employment?
We enter into a negotiating period where we sort out our arrangements.
So, in other words, we don't know. Their jobs are less safe. They don't know what will happen to them.
Well, what we do know is that British people's jobs are far less safe, because what we've seen is, since 2004 particularly, an unprecedented flow of labour into this country, displacing British workers and driving down wages, and that is uncontestable.
So do you concede, Nigel, for those British workers who are currently working elsewhere in Europe, if you get your way, they will have to apply for visas, if you get your way, and who knows whether they'll be granted or not?
Well, we have people working in America. Lots of people working in America.
And they have to apply for visas.
Yes, they do. And if that's what we have to do to make sure that we are a safer, more secure country that can protect ourselves against terrorism and, crucially, have an immigration system that does not lead to net migration of 250,000 a year and an increasing risk of terrorists being able to get into Britain on EU passports, then that is exactly what we have to do.
And for those people who have homes elsewhere in Europe and they're living there under the current terms, do you concede that their right to live there is also in jeopardy if you get your way?
No, of course not.
What right have they to stay there if we're not part of Europe anymore?
Well, they were living there before we were in the European Union.
For someone that's lived there for the last 5-6 years, what happens to them, Nigel?
Well, nothing happens to them. Why shouldn't nothing happen to them?
Well, they're not there. A citizen of that country.
They're there, they're paying their taxes, we're living in a modern world, but, you know, if France chose to limit the number of people that came to it, it could. What we cannot do, on the other side of that coin, what we cannot do is we cannot go on having an open door to 500 million people.
I'll talk about that in 1 second, I promise, but I'm not talking about people coming in and out of the country in the future. I am talking about British citizens currently living elsewhere in Europe. You don't know if they would be able to stay living there, do you?
Because these things work on the basis of reciprocity. And we would not suggest that anybody, even though the numbers have been vast, we would not suggest that anybody that had legally come to Britain should not be able to be here.
But you don't know.
Well, you don't know.
It's a step in the dark.
Let me tell you what a real step in the dark is. Staying inside a European Union, but last week Bosnia applied to join, and we're told from Chancellor Merkel that Turkey will be joining within 5 years. So within 5 years, we will have Turkey in our political union, a country of 75 million people who are even poorer in terms of their average living standards and wages than Romania and Bulgaria. So what we don't know is, if we stay in the European Union, what migration numbers could be in 5 years' time. They could be hugely bigger even than they are now. So the uncertainty part, I mean, look, you know, our lives are uncertain when we walk outside the front door. What we need to do is look how the world works and be pragmatic and sensible.
And one of the headlines, obviously, after the Prime Minister got the deal was the curb on migrants' benefits. You weren't impressed, obviously. Well, who knows if you're impressed, because you'll never admit to us whether you were impressed or not. But I'll tell you what, Cameron went out there and he came back with a deal.
He did. His manifesto said there would be no benefits paid to any new migrants for 4 years. What he came back was a cobbled-together deal, which means we can limit them. And after 4 years, not only will migrants get the same benefits they get now, but they will be able to qualify not for the minimum wage that we have now, but for the living wage, which will be in by 2019. So the net effect of what Mr Cameron has done as Prime Minister, along with his Chancellor, means the pull factors to Britain by 2019 will be even greater than they are now.
Final question. What are you going to be doing over the next couple of weeks, because it's a, and it's no criticism for me, but it's a repetitive message, this, isn't it? So are you going to be going up and down the country scaring people as to what will happen if we remain in the EU?
No. The scare's on the other side. The scare story is a Labour spokesman saying we'd lose millions of jobs, which clearly shows she's not in the real world. My message is we are good enough and we should be comfortable enough to run our own country, make our own laws, and to trade not just with Europe, but to start to think globally where we can actually be rather more prosperous. And I shall be out every single night speaking at packed public meetings all over the United Kingdom. I feel a bit like the Billy Graham of the Eurosceptic movement. I believe in this cause so much, I should go out and evangelise and try and mobilise people and excite people that we can get back our country and our democracy.
I believe you're coming to Northern Ireland soon. I look forward to meeting you in person, Nigel.
Thanks
a lot.